Starting with the end of this week's Parsha, and for the next couple of weeks, one of the major themes of the Sedras are the 10 tests that Avraham Avinu experienced. Mishnah says, Asar Doros, there were 10 generations from Noach until Avraham, and Asar Nisyonos Nisnasa Avraham Avinu, there were 10 tests that Avraham Avinu went through, Va'amad Bekulan, and he passed all of them. And we went through this several times in Chumash class, why the Mishnah stresses when it comes to talking about the tests that Avraham Avinu had as Nisyonos, it stresses Avraham Avinu. Talks about the generations from Noach to Avram, it leaves out Avinu. Yet when it talks about the tests, it stresses Avinu. And Reb Chaim Volozhiner explains, because through each test that Avraham Avinu passed, was seared into his spiritual being a certain midah, a certain trait, and that trait was passed down to us, his descendants, as our spiritual inheritance. For instance, Reb Chaim Volozhiner says, if you look at over Jewish history, Jews have been willing, more than willing, to be moser nefesh, to give up their life and die al kiddush Hashem, and even Jews who are estranged from a Torah life, when push comes to shove, there are countless incidents of them also willing to die al kiddush Hashem. And where is that coming from? So that was the midah of Mesiris Nefesh that was ingrained in Avram through the Nisayon of Ur Kasdim, when Avram was willing to die al kiddush Hashem for his beliefs, when Nimrod threw him into the Kivshana Esh. But what I really want to discuss is test number 10. So offhand, we would say the 10th test was at Kedis Yitzchak. Kedis Yitzchak was certainly the hardest test. In fact, the Pusik says, the Zohar comments on the Pusik, when the Malach called, Vayikrei lov Malach Hashem min Hashemayim Avram Avram, when the Malach called Avram to Atishlach Yodcha El Anar V'Atasla Ma'uma, don't do anything to Yitzchak, don't harm Yitzchak. So the Malach calls him Avraham Avraham. What does it mean, Avraham Avraham? The Zohar makes a very interesting comment. The Zohar comments Avram Lemala, Avram Lemata. Avram above and Avram below. What is that supposed to mean? So the pshat is that really, in Shemayim, they have an image of each and every one of us. Each and every one of us, the way we should be and could be, with our spiritual potential fulfilled. And our job is to make sure that the image that's in this world is a match, a replica of the image they have of us in Shemayim. And that's what the Malach was telling Avram, Avram Lamala, Avram Lamata, Avram, you made it. You fulfilled your spiritual potential. You accomplished all that you had to accomplish. And it's a perfect match. That being the case, so it makes a lot of sense to say that the 10th test where Avram really made it was Akedas Yitzchak. And there's really no need for a further test. Yet Rabbeinu Yonah holds that that was only the 9th test. There was a need for a further test. And that test took place in Parshas Chayisara, when Avram Avinu had a bargain with Ephron for a kivura, for a burial plot, for Sarah Imenu, even though he was promised Eretz Yisrael. Whatever the test was, the nature of that test was, is not for now. But the question begs itself. Why was there a need for another test? He made it. Avram, Avram, Avram Lamala, Avram Lamata. What did he need another test for? And the answer is, because Avram proved that he could rise to the occasion. Avram proved himself that he could reach an incredibly high spiritual level of perfection. Yet he needed another test to show that he can maintain that level. And that's what the test of Parshas Chayisara, the 10th test according to Rabbeinu Yonah, was for. To prove that that level that he reached through Akedas Yitzchak just wasn't a momentary moment where he rose to the occasion. But he maintained that level, and that was the purpose of the 10th test. So that means, on the basis of what we just said, that each one of us here has a potential to reach an incredibly high level and maintain that level. That's our spiritual inheritance as part of our DNA. This past Tuesday was the last day of Chodesh Tishrei. Chodesh Tishrei is an incredible month. It's Me'adin. It's days of simcha, tremendous simcha. And it's also a month where we have an incredible opportunity to bond with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, connect with HaKadosh Baruch Hu in a very special way, in a very intense, special way, and to be zocha for Rachmei Shamayim, for tremendous rachamim, which we, as individuals, and certainly now, as a nation of Klal Yisrael, are in so desperate need of. I don't think there's a better way, a more appropriate way, to end such an incredible Chodesh than the way that it was ended this past Tuesday. To end such an incredible Chodesh with an incredible display of Kavod HaTorah, an incredible display of Avas HaTorah, Simchas HaTorah, and a Kiddush Hashem that defies description. That was so great, such a Kiddush Shem Shamayim, the Farhesia, public Kiddush Shem Shamayim, it defies description. Challenge that we spoke about probably in individual shiurim, and we're facing now, is where do we go from there? How do you build on it? How do you perpetuate it? We have the ability to. We reached a high level on Tuesday. We have the ability, just like Avram, we have the ability to preserve it. So how do we preserve it? How do we build on it? How do we not let it just dissipate and disappear? So in order to answer that question, you first have to understand what was accomplished. You have to touch up. What exactly was accomplished on Tuesday? In order to preserve what was accomplished, you have to understand what was accomplished. And I just want to share you with you a short word from the Parsha, which I think can help us understand what exactly we accomplished this past Tuesday. The Pasuk says in this week's Parsha, Vayochel Noach Isho Adama. Noach, the man of the ground, began, and he planted a vineyard. He opens up the teva, but he sees total devastation. Complete total devastation. And he has to revegetate the ground, the earth. And he brought with him on the teva all kinds of seeds, vines, trees, all to plant the earth again. And it's interesting. The pasuk is Vayochel Noach Isho Adama, a man who's identified now with the ground. In the beginning, he was Ish Tzadik. He was a man who was identified by his righteousness. Chazal noticed there's a spiritual decline here. Vayochel Noach doesn't mean Noach began. Noach profaned himself. He profaned himself and he dropped. There was a decline in his spiritual level. And he became an Isho Adama, a man of the ground who's defined by the ground. Moshe Rabbeinu was known as an Ish Elokim, a man who's defined by his service to the Borei Olam. Here, Noach is now defined as an Isho Adama. Why? Because the first thing he planted was a vineyard. Now, truth be told, the world needs vines. They need wine. You need a vine. There were vines. There was vineyards before the Mabul. So what was wrong with what Noach did? Why is Chazal critical? Why did Chazal see a decline in his spiritual level? And the answer is because that's the first thing he did. The first thing he did, for whatever reason he had, that's not for now, he planted a vineyard, which was improper, and it represented a spiritual decline where he went from an Ish Tzadik to an Ish Adama. Reb Yerucham Levavitz, the famed Mashkiach of the Mira Yeshiva in pre-World War II Europe, makes a very important observation. He says, we have many responsibilities in life. We have to do many things. Noah had to plant the vineyard. But what defines a person is his priorities. What does he give a priority to? Noah gave a priority to planting a vineyard, so that defines him. He's defined as an Isho Adama. I think that what was accomplished this past Tuesday was that everybody in the room really defined themselves, defined where their priorities are, who they are, that their there, it was a display of Avas HaTorah, of Oavei Torah, Mechabdei Torah, people who have honored the Torah. And above all, Mekadshei Shem Shamayim, people who are Mekadshei Shem Shamayim, you defined who you are. If that's who you are, then what comes along with it is a tremendous responsibility that all your behavior, the way you act, the way you conduct yourselves, the things you do with your friends, the things you do with your private time, have to remain in sync with who you are and who your essence is. There's an incident, story told, where somebody, a lawyer from the United States, from the States, went to Yerushalayim, went to Eretz Yisrael in the 1950s, and he wanted to go meet the Brisker Rav, give shalom to the Brisker Rav, who lived in Yerushalayim. He goes over to the Brisker Rav, gives him shalom. The Brisker Rav asks him, "What do you do? What do you do for a living?" So he said, "I'm a lawyer." "What do you mean? What do you do?" He said, "I'm a real estate lawyer." He says, No, you don't understand what I'm asking. What do you do?" So he's told him what a real estate lawyer does. "I handle contracts and closings and search titles. The whole chagadja of what a real estate lawyer does." And the Brisker Rav said, "You're not understanding my question." So the lawyer asked very respectfully if the Brisker Rav could please explain what he means. Brisker Rav says, "I'll tell you what I mean. Say for Yonah, when the boat that Yonah was on was being tossed around by the stormy seas, so the sailors figured out that it had to do with Yonah being on board. They went to Yonah and they asked him, 'Yonah, ma malachtecha? What do you do? What do you do for a living?' So Yonah answered, 'Ivri anochi, I'm a Jew. V'yas Hashem Elokei Hashemayim ani yarei. I'm a God-fearing Jew. That's what I do. That's my job. That's my essence. That's my priority in life.' So the Brisker Rav said to him, 'When I ask you what you do, I wanted you to answer, you're a Yirei Shemayim who coincidentally happens to be a lawyer. Not a lawyer who coincidentally has to have Yirei Shemayim, although that is an accomplishment. I wouldn't belittle that. But the real answer, what it should be, is that your essence, your priority is Yirei Shemayim, Ivri Anochi V'as Hashem Elokei Hashemayim Ani Yarei, who coincidentally is a lawyer, for whatever reason he has to be a lawyer, who coincidentally is a doctor, for whatever noble reason you want to be a doctor. But that's who you are. That's your essence. And I think that says a lot about your essence that you displayed this past Tuesday, that you're Mekadshei Shei Shemayim, who also play basketball, who also on the hockey team, who also complain about your SAT courses, who also complain and could drive a teacher crazy arguing for a half a point. But your essence is not the hockey player, not the complainer, not the basketball player, but your essence is a Yirei Shemayim, your essence is a Mekadshei Shei Shemayim, your essence is somebody who knows how to give Kavod HaTorah. That's your essence. I just want to close with a short, I don't know if it's not even a story, but I had a very close friend when I was in yeshiva. Very close friend. And I used to spend Shabbos at his house. A lot of times, many times on Shabbos, and many Purim Suthas at his house. And I got to know his parents fairly well. And his father was a phenomenal, phenomenal educator. A real, real machanech, par excellence. And this past winter, his father passed away. And at the Levaya, his son-in-law said, I wasn't at the Levaya, but I read the Hesped. And in the eulogy, he told a little story that I think is very apropos. At one of the starim, at the Seder, so he said that's when his father-in-law really shined. And at the end of the Seder, it came time for the Afikomen. So one of the grandkids took the Afikomen. So he asked the little girl, "What do you want for Afikomen present?" And she said, "Zaidi, I want a chapter book." "It's a chapter book. What's that?" So she said, "Well, you know, some books, they have a lot of different stories, and one story doesn't have anything to do with the other one. A chapter book all the stories are related. They all lead into each other. There's a connection. They all build up to the same theme. They'll work around the same theme. So he smiled, thought it was cute. And he said, okay, I'll get you a chapter book. A couple of months later, at a family simcha, his son-in-law said that his father-in-law got up to speak, and he recalled this incident, and he said, my, isn't that what our lives are supposed to be about? Our lives are not supposed to be about a series of episodes that are totally disconnected. Our lives are supposed to be a chapter book. We're supposed to write a chapter book. A chapter book where all the episodes, all the stories, all our struggles, our disappointments, our achievements, all are geared to one goal. They're all centered around one theme. Theme of Yirat Shamayim, a theme of Chesed, a theme of Shmiras HaTorah VaHaMitzvos, a theme of Kavod HaTorah. So that at the end of the day, after 120 years, and we have to present our chapter book to the Borei Olam, it's a real chapter book with themes of Yirat Shamayim and Kavod HaTorah and Simchas HaTorah and Kiddushim Shamayim. And when we present the chapter book to the Borei Olam and he asks us, Ma Malachtecha, you spent time in this world, I put your neshama down into this world. Ma Malachtecha, what was the malacha? What'd you do with it? What'd you accomplish? So you should be able to tell the Borei Olam, hand him the chapter book and tell him the same words as Yonah. At least I tried. I tried to be Ivri Anochi and Elokei Shamayim Ani Yari. Have a good shot.